Welcome, everyone, to this special episode of the Pure Power Podcast. I'm Natalia Rose, and today we have with us the iconic Nadine Artemis. To me, Nadine is the embodiment of all that true natural beauty signifies. As if being the co-creator and visionary behind the Living Libations brand of magical self-care products was not enough, Nadine is a living goddess. She is pure, numinous life force itself. All the most epic terms you can think of to describe the grace of the feminine find a home in her loveliness. I have never met Nadine in person before today, but I have been admiring her for the better part of 2 decades since first discovering her absolutely unique, peerless line of products so many years ago. Nadine is an oracle of the botanical, aromatic, and healing potion arts, priestess of the plant kingdom, and poetess the way she expresses it all through words in her books and products. Nadine is the author of 2 books, including Renegade Beauty and Holistic Dental Care. Nadine's signature is Renegade Beauty, like the name of her book. She encourages effortlessness in beauty, eschews regimes, and inspires people to rethink conventional norms of beauty and wellness. Her potent dental serums are used worldwide and provide the purest oral care available. Nadine has received glowing reviews for her work, including The Hollywood Reporter, Los Angeles Times, New York Magazine, People, Elle, Yoga Journal, Natural Health, The New York Times, and National Post. Celebrity fans include Shailene Woodley, Carrie Ann Moss, Mandy Moore, and Alanis Morissette, and many others. Most hearty welcome, Nadine. It is a true honor to have you here today to share your radiant essence with our Pure Power family.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here and so lovely to meet you.
Oh, it's very, very special. I have so many questions for you, and I know that our Pure Power family is going to be just really, really excited to hear everything that you have to share. And in fact, I thought to break it down and make sure we fully, it's as comprehensive as possible, I'd love to touch on dental, on skin, on hair, and on the sun, and anything else you want to add. So how do you feel about diving into the dental aspect first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. So I actually have some of your products in front of me and I love, and I've got some of the dental ones here that I wanted to share because they're so special. But I love something you said. I can't remember where you said it. It might've been a podcast or something, but holistic dentistry, the science of keeping your teeth in your mouth. I thought that's like, that's it right there. Like, can we just keep the teeth in the mouth, please? You know, and you know, you have your approach to regrowing enamel and reversing cavities, and it's all things that no one will have ever heard before. So, would you share with us your philosophy around dental care and what you think people need to know most?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because you just said, you know, people may have not have heard that, and I'm sure they haven't, but it's been really neat. So I first published Holistic Dentistry in 2013. And prior to that, I had a self-published book called Successful Self-Dentistry. It's essentially kind of the same book, but then it was published. And that's about 14 years ago when I had the first ebook out, so to speak. But it's been really neat to see like this whole area grow, and just it seems like there's a lot more common knowledge out there, and just so many maverick dentists are just really, yeah, they just seem to be proliferating all around the world. So that's pretty exciting. I think one thing that we want to know about our teeth, and again, I am a person with teeth. I am not a dentist, but I thought we got to figure this out. Because the way I was raised, which is pretty classic, you know, North American, like you grow up and then all of a sudden you're going to a series of appointments to care for your body. You know, not a lot, but it's just still like you go to the doctor, even if nothing's wrong with you. It's just like that going to somebody else and then they're going to tell you what's going on with your body. And I just felt like, you know, having those experiences as at the dentist as a kid and not really understanding what was going on, I was just like, we got to know what's going on. Like, and what do we do every day so that that annual visit or that when we do go to a dentist, it's not so devastating. And so what I found really fascinating when I set out to learn about this, because I'm always like, if I'm going to like, I'm formulating products for the body, but I'm also my approach before making a formula is understanding the biology of that system, of that area, and kind of getting out of the way and thinking like, well, what is the body like born with? What is the system that takes care of that? Like, you know, not like digestion comes up a lot for skincare, but it should, because it does affect acne and stuff. But my point is like, you know, if you're not digesting something, you want to look at the digestive system, you know, even before you're like adding things, or certainly before you had any kind of surgery, digestive surgery. So we want to understand what's going on. And I'm like, well, we weren't born with a toothbrush in our hands. So what is going on? And how would the teeth take care of themselves without Crest? And it turns out they would take care of themselves. And so what is so fascinating, and again, I'm learning from other dentists and I'm gathering their research into something that we as people with teeth can just understand and work with at home. And so a variety of dentists and their deep work, you know, looking at things from even the 50s, 60s, 70s. And there was a dentist called Dr. Ralph Steinem, and he would get crazy allergies every summer in August. And then somebody was like, hey, you know, if you eliminate sort of the white foods, like, you know, sugar, white breads and dairy, that kind of thing. This is back in the 50s, that, you know, it probably helped. And then he saw like his allergies went away. So he was just literally like, that was reconnecting him with the mouse connection to the body, which just seems so obvious. But there, he was explaining that in the 40s, there was sort of a split in dentistry, or not necessarily a split, but then what became the official, I don't know the word there. The official agenda seems kind of heavy, but anyway, the official like thing of the American Dental Association. And that was the acidogenic theory, that acids in the mouth are creating, you know, cavities. And that took away from the systemic connection of like, well, what's going on with the body? So anyway, Ralph Steinem, after that, the dentist, he quit his practice. And then he went to work at Loma Linda University, which is a research university. And he set out to understand what is it, what's going on. And so he found, through using like a dental x-ray dye, of course he's using rats to study, as you know, as they do in those things. And then he found, when he followed the dye. So what happens is we chew the nutrients, and those nutrients, of course, are not only nutrients, but chemical messengers that activate the hypothalamus, and they're activating body systems. So to extract the nutrients in the food and to put it in the blood system, that was a pretty fast process. So they were able to track that. Then the blood moves up to the teeth, as it would, and circulate through the body. And each tooth is like a tree with roots. And so those roots are drawing up the nutrients, nutrients from the soil, or drawing up the nutrients from the blood. And then inside each tooth is the pulp chamber, which you may have heard of. That's the thing that gets sealed off and removed for a root canal. And I like to think of the pulp chamber as just sort of like where all the juice is for the tooth. Like that's where it's all kind of happening. And that's where, like, hopefully if we're eating the right minerals and getting good fat soluble vitamins, then that is like plump and healthy in there. Anyway, in that chamber, so it takes about 5 minutes for the blood to reach the tooth. Now then, from the roots of the tooth drawing in the blood, that process takes an hour. So I just find that fascinating, because that's a small, you know, it's just going in the tooth. Okay, so inside the pulp chamber, that blood fenestrates through the, you know, biological mechanisms and turns into a lymphatic fluid. So that is major what he discovered, is that he discovered there's a dentineal fluid transport system, DFT for short. And so each of our teeth have a lymphatic system, which is just, I find incredible. Anyway, that lymphatic fluid gets pushed out onto the surface of the tooth through the odontoblasts, which I think of like as little bone pistons. They're sort of moving stuff through the bone. And then it's all in a centrifugal force. So that's like a spiraling upward. So up through the roots, up through the middle of the tooth, and then out up onto the surface of the tooth, into the mouth. And there it's like this microscopic sweat on the surface of the teeth. This is all happening kind of non-visible to the eye. And then that lymphatic fluid coalesces with the saliva. Hopefully your saliva is slightly alkaline, mineral rich. And then that's repairing and sealing the teeth on one level. And what that is doing is it's preventing cavities because this force, this lymphatic force, is moving things out of the tooth. And then when through stress, hormones, or like, you know, like teenageness, pregnancy, having a phone by your parotid gland all day, chemicals, fluoride, you know, just the stressors of modern life, not proper nutrients, what that can do is it makes this lymphatic system stagnant. And then we're not getting the nutrients to the teeth. Then if that continues, it doesn't become stagnant, it actually reverses flow. So then the tooth, instead of this outward healing juice coming out, the tooth becomes like a straw and it sucks in from the mouth. And the mouth is always going to have, you know, a little bit of, you know, bacteria, because there's always going to be good bacteria, but there's going to be just, by, you know, just the stuff of the mouth that you don't want in the tooth. And it kind of creates, like, if we think about a leaky gut, it's kind of, to me, I think of it as a leaky tooth. Mm-hmm. And that is how cavities are formed. So we don't, I mean, hardly even any dentists know that. And this was from Dr. Hal Hoggins, who I read a book from his, and he learned from Dr. Ralph Steinem. Now, since I wrote my first book, then there's been this whole book that came out from Steinem, and it's a whole collection of his, like, about 1,000 studies on seeing this fluid. And he also wanted to know, so he figured all that out, but he wanted to know what the mechanism was, like, to kind of, what's the switch? And that he teamed up with an endocrinologist, Dr. John Lenora. And then that's when they found out, like, you know, the hypothalamus is involved. Of course, the hormones are involved. So it's like a whole system that, you know, is going to be way more than crust that we need to think about to do the job, so to speak. So that's sort of the system. And what that does is that fluid acts like a buffer. That's your invisible toothbrush. That's what I think of it as. So it's good to just know those mechanisms. And then what we can also know from that is our teeth are bones. And our bones are alive all day. They're mineralizing, remineralizing, just like hopefully our bones inside our body are. We can think that they're kind of just set and done and grown. And then if they do get a cavity, that it's just done. And it may be, not everything can be changed. And, you know, it depends how deep the cavity is, blah, blah, blah. But what the cavity is also it's signaling something's out of whack, so, you know, some nutrient is missing. So with our teeth and pretty much everything in our bodies, we're going from the inside and then the outside, right? So we are going to brush our teeth and clear away the debris and keep our mouth alkaline, but we're also going to want to be sure that we're getting mineral rich food. And some of the key minerals for teeth are magnesium, phosphorus. Phosphorus is really, really key. When they found that when phosphorus dropped, then the your quality of teeth and bone dropped. Also, vitamin D3 and K2. They're important, and they're important together. So a lot of people know now about D3, but we always want to take it with K2. I'm really big into the sun and getting a lot of our nutrients from the sun. That being said, and I live in the winter, I live in Canada, so we have a winter. And I'm very dedicated, like, sort of, like, as soon as the vitamin D comes back in February, I'm out there, and it leaves us tomorrow. We got one more day. Then we got a 3-month period without. But that being said, even though I'm, like, out there all the time and I'm tracking it, I have my circadian app, I have a D minor app, so I'm tracking my D every day. I still need to supplement, like, right about now and going through the winter. And if you are having cavities, because I guess my point is too, is like, not everybody can get. People live where there's way more sun than here in Canada, but, like, even if you think you're getting enough sun, you might not be getting enough of, like, the vitamin D, and you may have started with a deficit. So it's always fun when we don't have to supplement, but I do feel that, like, if there is any sign of a cavity, then you definitely need vitamin D3 with the K2. And what those two vitamins do is they usher calcium into the bone. So if we don't have those two, then the calcium can just sit in the bloodstream and not get driven into the bone, which is what we need, so that our, you know, we have the calcium in the bone rather than just the blood system. And when you have sort of the right minerals and vitamins like that, you do feel a change in your saliva. It's a little more silky smooth, and you just feel that a bit of alkalizing. So you just want to, you know, you can even test your mouth with just simple litmus paper. And just want to make sure it's your saliva is generally always on the beginning of the alkalinity situation. So that's really key on sort of the, yeah, like what are the teeth and what do they need, and why might a cavity come? And those kind of things too will also help the gums. We definitely want to be sure that we're really taking care of the gum line, also called the sulca, and that's where the gum and the teeth meet. Maybe some of you have, receding gums, bleeding gums, pockets, gum pockets. You may have heard, you're at the dentist, they're like, oh, that one's like 7, 8, 9. You want to have it like a 1, 2, 3. Many dentists feel that if it is higher, you can't get them back down, but you definitely can, because it, like, you're alive. So your gums, they're actually very, it's a thin tissue, and but it's actually makes so it's quick to bleed, but they're quick to heal because it isn't like thick, so the gums can improve. Gum pockets can improve, teeth strength can improve, mineralization can improve, saliva alkalinity can improve, and bone strength can improve. Teeth sensitivity is often related to gum issues. So if you're feeling sensitive in an area, you may have a high gum pocket or receding gum in that area. So what we want to do for that is really always, well, generally, some general rules for taking care of your teeth. When we're brushing, you always want to go gum towards tooth. So on the top row, it's down, down. So you're not going up and down, up and down, up and down. If anybody's ever seen the movie, the classic movie Grease, there's a song like brusha, brusha, brusha. Don't do it that way. Don't brusha, brusha, brusha. So in the bottom, you're going up, up, up. So it's not back and forth, because the back and forth is like wearing away the gum line. And then it's kind of taking that micro debris and kind of sweeping it under the rug of the gums. And then that kind of makes the gums pull back a bit. When the gums pull back a bit, and then there's tooth, I mean, it'll still look like a tooth, but that enamel is not like the rest of the enamel. So once the gum's raising, the enamel that gets revealed is a little more vulnerable. And that could be where people can get gum line cavities, or your dentist is saying, hey, the gum's receded, you may need the surgery. The gum grafting, which I don't know the percent, but a few years later, they're often having to be redone. And that's because it's just a band-aid solution, like many of our modern medical solutions. And we're not getting to the root cause, we're not getting addressing underneath. Which again could be a habit of like brushing, or a habit that's making it worse. So sensitivity is a gum issue usually. Like, so the tooth may be feeling it when you're drinking hot or cold, but it's really the gum. So you want to bring that pocket down. And then I was going to add something there. But so you want to just make sure that you're really taking care of that. And we have these blunt tip syringes that you can, so it's like a syringe, but it's blunt, and it's like a micro water flosser, and then you can really get in between the teeth or flush. You can almost just sort of insert it, not like majorly insert it, but just put the tip right by the gum line, and then you're flushing out the sulca. And in that syringe, then you can do a variety of different things, like a 3% solution of hydrogen peroxide. That's going to really cleanse the area, or taking it one of our dental serums, adding that into that mix, or just taking like water and a pinch of sea salt, water and a pinch of baking soda. That's making an alkaline solution. And baking soda and salt are also antibacterial, antiviral, and like classics for oral care, used for so long. So those are some simple things. And just know wherever your mouth is at right now, like it can improve greatly.
Wow, you've given us a whole new paradigm of dental care. I mean, it's heartbreaking that without coming to your work or to one of this sort of the new guard, let's say, of holistic dentists that you described earlier, most people go through their whole lives destroying their mouths, and everything converges in the mouth the way you described it. It's like, no, it's a microcosm of everything. It's the as above, so below. And it's almost like makes me think that when we're eating, we actually shouldn't eat anything we wouldn't brush our teeth with, because we're kind of brushing our teeth with what we're eating.
Yeah.
But that is outstanding and so helpful. And I love the way you described this, this way of the channels and the lymphatic system working, and the the whole force field happening there. And then in that, we also have, and I've heard you talk about the quorum and the biofilm and how that, what you're describing is like the reversal of the microbiome, the dental microbiome, because that's what's going to develop, right?
Mm-hmm. And really so many of our products, not our products, the products that we're using for clean our teeth, like at the drugstore, or even at the dentist practices and some substances, are just mutating the mouse microbiome. And what we want to actually have is we want to have a mouth of bustling bacteria in the good way, because that's going to actually take care of things for us. And they're going to keep the pathogenic bacteria in check. So that, I think it's not scientific, but in my head, I think of the 80-20 rule. You know, it's like if you got about 80% good bacteria, they're going to take care of those other characters. Because when the pathogens can take, like, kind of get more control of the situation, then they start gathering and then forming biofilms. And then even like an antibiotic can't bust through that. However, the ingredients that we're working with, which have been used in oral care for thousands of years, like things like clove, cinnamon, tea tree, peppermint, rose, frankincense, mastic, all those beautiful things. What we're now seeing with modern science studying the microbiome is we're now understanding that things like clove are, like all the oils I've just mentioned, are these quorum sensing inhibitors, QSI for short. And what that simply means is that the clove is going to inhibit the quorum sensing, aka the gene expression and the gene regulation of those pathogens. So clove stops them from gathering up and gaining power and is able to bust through the biofilms. And then here's the best part, is that those essences, like the clove, the cinnamon, the rose, they're able to clean up the pathogenic bacteria, but work with the friendly bacteria. So they're not like an antibiotic, which is antibiotic, anti-life, biotic being life. And the antibiotics, they definitely have their place. They've definitely been way overused. So if you eat sort of from regular, you know, dairy farming or whatever, you're getting way more antibiotics. Like you're literally, like the allowable limit for tetracycline in milk, can't remember the stat, but it's so high, it's insane. Just like what? So what's so great is they're able to work with that beneficial bacteria. The antibiotics are like these indiscriminate assassins that just, like a scorched earth policy, like just wiping it all out. They're not discriminating between good commensal and like and pathogenic bacteria. Mm-hmm. So that's super cool. And that's why they're so great as these dental serums. And things like, you know, sea salt, baking soda, hydrogen peroxide. You know, hydrogen peroxide will also, you know, it can be a bit astringent on the gums, so you don't want to overuse it. But again, it's not going to wipe out all the good bacteria. What I do if I'm doing a hydrogen peroxide rinse, which I might just do a couple times a month, it is good for just naturally whitening. And again, it's always at a 3% or less, is I will rinse with baking soda right after, or use one of our toothpastes, which have a good amount of baking soda. So you could just get that alkalinity softness back in the mouth.
Wonderful. And what do you think about ozone treatments in the mouth?
Yeah, we love ozone. And you definitely want a dentist that has ozone technology in their office, because for cleaning up or for helping a deep gum pocket, or, you know, if you had like a tooth that needed extraction or an old root canal that needed clean up, then you want them to be injecting that ozone into your mouth. And another really good thing that the best dentists have is they use like PRP. It's called different things, but it basically is the platelet plasma therapy. So they will draw blood from you, put it in a centrifuge that separates the blood from the plasma. And then you get this tube of your own beautiful golden plasma, thick, beautiful. And then they'll inject that back into your mouth where it's needed. And then for the next 6 months, your own stem cells and healing, you know, nutrients from the body will come and heal that area. So you definitely want that.
Okay, I've heard that done by estheticians and
oh, yeah.
For the face, but I never knew there was an application for the teeth. It makes sense. And then are you still a fan of the blasting, the salt blasting for
Oh
whitening?
yeah, the salt blasting is really good, and there are since then dentist. There's an, I mean, it's not that new, but there's like air proxy. So kind of like you, they will do a very, very fine micron of like a baking soda or the amino acid glycine, and like with just air, put it on your teeth so there's nothing touching your teeth, and then they'll kind of like, to me, it's like sandblasting an old building, you know, to clean it. They would just blast it with sand, if anybody's familiar with that. So it's a really, really good method. And also, I want to say with ozone, one of our dental serums, we did ozonate. So we also have an ozone gel. So at home, it's really good for gum repair and getting those pockets to come back around. But yeah, it's one of the best ways of whitening because the sort of drugstore and so, you know, some of the dental whitening situations is because of the chemicals, you'll definitely get like chemically white, but that is usually like really weakening the enamel. And then over time, you're going to have a quicker yellowing tooth. It's not, it's going to affect it. And the interesting thing about the enamel is that it's actually transparent like glass. And it's the health of the pulp chamber that I was talking about earlier that reflects the whiteness into that translucent enamel. Now, that being said, yes, so there's like white teeth, but then also many people, especially in our worlds, eat a lot of pigment-rich foods. And there may have been, you know, some deeper, like not just sort of daily plaque, but there could be tartar built up. And so what can happen is that that's getting stained. And that's why the sandblasting is good, you know, like so to speak, that when you're cleaning or air proxy, I think it's called. So you want to get rid of that first, you know, because it might, you know, not be as, yeah, as discolored as you think.
So then you can use that at home rather than having to go to the dentist for the salt blasting. Is that
Yeah,
something?
well, I'm looking into like a system that we could do that blasting at home. It's
That would
going
be
to
amazing.
take probably, yeah, it might take about another year, but I think we're onto something.
Fun,
So
fun,
just getting a smaller system that the dentist has, but
fun.
like a home version, which would be so good, like
Okay, see, and your family
incredible.
could probably use it if it if you had different connectors that you can
Yeah,
share.
you're not scraping, which is amazing, right? You don't
Yeah.
just scrape with metal the tooth, which
Oh no.
sounds
I mean, I don't even go to a dentist. I haven't gone to a dentist in so many years. I don't even know how long because I don't want that, you know, anything they
awful.
would do to me, I'd be like, well, that's just gonna, you know, deteriorate my tooth. So I just I'm a dentist for now. And just with the ozone too, I love your Ruby Juice ozone lip gloss.
Oh yeah.
It has ozone in it, which you can smell actually when you're, because ozone has a very distinct smell. And dentally speaking, I love your neem enamelizer.
Oh yeah, the
It
neem
has
is so
such
great.
a unique taste too.
It's sorry. So say it's got quorum sensing inhibitors too. It is such a powerful herb for the mouth and the body. But the funny thing is, it is literally one of the world's most bitter herbs. So it's definitely a different tasting kind of toothpaste. It is not your saccharine sweetened
No,
kind of,
I feel
yeah.
very granola when I use it. And then of course your happy gum drops.
Yeah, I
So.
love those. So that's for oil pulling. And we just like basically, you know, amped it up a bit with like probiotics. And I can't remember exactly everything that's in there, but of course, our, you know, clove, cinnamon, and all that. And even for oil pulling, and I have little suggestions and recipes in the book, is you could take that. And it shows to work. There was even, not that it necessarily matters, but like a Harvard study or something that showed that it was working. But we also have like 1,000 years of Ayurveda. And if you really do it consistently for about 30 days, holy, your teeth will be very white, gums will be very happy. It's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah. But in yours specifically, because, or if you make one that has the essential oils. So I feel like just with
Yes.
coconut oil pulling, it's like, okay, come see, come see.
Yeah. Yes,
But
it is.
with that, when you introduce essential oils to anything, you just elevate the experience and you know that it's doing something valuable.
Yeah. And you could even take one of our dental serums and then just add it to your own coconut oil, like basically a drop or two to that. So that's really easy. I did also say, I don't know if you tried it yet, and I can send it to you, but we have the triple mint toothpaste. That
Okay.
is whitening. It has a mineral that the bones are made out of, which is the nanohydroxyapatite. And so it actually repairs like fissure, very tiny, you know, things you can't see in the tooth. So it makes the tooth smooth, it evens it out, and it helps to whiten, and it makes the bone strong. It has been improved as an ingredient for toothpaste for about 40 years, but it wasn't in very many toothpaste. And if it was, it would be with synthetics. But it was approved about 40 years ago by NASA for use for astronauts because of the bone loss that they experience in outer space.
That speaks for itself. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, this is going to come out actually close to, well, it's going to be November. So I can't think of better gifts to give than getting these. I mean, even for like my family, my adult children, I just want them to be using all these things. I think it's like the perfect Christmas present.
It's amazing that you have adult children.
Good.
Yeah, you look about 30.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I'll be 50 today. But thank you. So one thing because we have to move on to skin, but I've got one question for you that I've been sitting with and you would be the person to ask. I've always felt that there was a strong correlation between the hips and childbirth and our dental situation in the Western world. So of course, you know, Weston Price was a pioneer in putting together all that we were doing wrong in the Western world with the teeth. But of course, we have childbirth, very, very painful childbirth in the Western world that I don't know is as dramatic, let's say, with primitive people or original people. Maybe that's the PC way to put it. So I know I had terrible labors, great pregnancies, but horrendous labors, because my hips specifically, I'd been in an accident, so that they were a bit off. But it made me think because in the accident, in the moment, my jaw also snapped, so my pelvis was shattered, and I wasn't hit here. I was hit across my pelvis, across my midsection. I was 3 and a half. It was a long time ago, but the point is that immediately upon impact, I went into an underbite, a massive underbite, like literally all, I had this wonderful, the head of the dental department at UCLA, fortunately was my dentist at the time, or my parents' dentist. And he said, you know, once I healed and came out of the hospital, he's like, we're not going to put braces on her. We're going to use a compression stick, like a popsicle stick.
Oh.
I just used that. And it was like for a half hour every day for a few months, and it fixed it. Thank God he didn't put a whole bunch of metal in my mouth.
That's
but
amazing.
It made me consider this correlation between the hips. And when you spoke about fertility and the issues of fertility being often perceivable in the micro, the ecological, you know, situation,
yeah.
Health, that also made sense. So it's like, it's as if, you know, we have, and it's also an what's the term? It's not a cavitation, it's an orifice, right? So we have it's almost like the feminine orifice and the mouth are all kind of doing the same thing. And then it's like almost like the jaws, like the hips or the jaws lower region. And so I wondered if you had any thoughts on that or any anecdotal sort of reflections, because it just feels like there's like two of them. There's the upper one.
I definitely, now I'm not sure, like if, you know, chiropractor, massage or where I've known that, but yeah, the jaw and the hips are very connected, and the pelvis, like, and the tightness. I wonder too, if just as a reaction, you like, you know, bit down on your, like, you know, at the time of the accident, you might've like bit down hard or something as a reaction, you know,
maybe.
It didn't get hit, but you might've just like clenched or something.
Right.
Body
just shut, like closed up.
Yeah, because I know that there's definitely like through therapy and polyvagal therapy is like opening the pelvis or the jaw, like they both sort of reflect on each other. They both have those, like, well, for women, there's the yoni microbiome, oral microbiome. And if a woman has like like gum disease, which is basically, you know, bleeding gums or just, you know, the gums are really sensitive, that can lead to a premature birth. And infertility even, like, so in like infertility could be an issue with the oral microbiome or the vaginal microbiome, not necessarily connected, but they are connected, but you know what I mean? Like, so you got to kind of look at both things. And then just speaking about the jaw is just reminding me too of Dr. Joel Gould's, G-O-U-L-D's work. He's a dentist and he's done a lot of work and studying on vitamin D. And basically, like bruxism, TMJ, clenching the jaw is one of the signs of a vitamin D deficiency. So I thought that's really interesting. And Dr. Weston Price, who was the head of the American Dental Association in the 1930s, and he wrote that book, what is it, Physical Nutrition, and I don't
I don't
know.
remember the name of it.
You'll find it. He only wrote one book. So he used to travel around the world, sort of Indiana Jones style, with his wife and visit like cultures, Hebrides, like the
Summer.
Inuit way up north, like eating, just the fish, or people, and then down like Maori, eating like fresh seafood, and just all over the world. And what he found was is that people that had cavities, and he would look at twins, even like in the Hebrides, there was a twin that lived at the port. So that twin's eating all the like sugar, and then the other twin brother's like inland and living traditionally and eating traditionally and has all his, perfect face structure and teeth. And the twin that ate all the sugars just doesn't. And then he would visit like the Alps and then see the people that would like let their cows graze on the butter in June, or like getting the grass grazing in June, which is when the butter would be yellower, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he came up, there's this activator X he found that was essential for all cavities. And what everybody, not everybody, but all the dentists in the Weston Price Society today feel that that thing he was looking for is vitamin K2. So we know that is essential now to bone health with the D3. And if you eat butter that was, the cows ate the grass in the Alps in the June, it's super high in K2 at that time of year. So that was just really interesting. So I do think there is a connection there. I can't remember how I learned that, but yeah.
It all comes back to the sun at the end of the day,
Yes, the sun.
where the grass is going to come from.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know we need to get into skin. So I think I've got so many more things I wanted to ask you about teeth, but I think we just need to keep going. We can always do this again, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, I love the way you say the skin, and I hope I'm getting this right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is the moist covering of the soul?
Yeah, the moist envelope of the soul, but it's either way is good.
Yes, envelope is far more poetic. And just to, gosh, there's obviously a lot to unpack there. Would you start maybe with your routine, because how you treat your skin, I think, is going to be of great interest to the group.
Well, on a one level, we make so many beautiful things. I'm right, obviously, in the beauty realms, but I'm really simple in my routine. I just usually use the best skin ever, and then like a serum. So that's basically it. So I'll wash my face with oil and cloth. Yeah. Which one is that? I didn't.
Is the Immortelle.
Oh yeah, the Immortelle. That's literally what I'm using right now. I used to use the Rose Glow every day for like my all over best skin ever body one, but then last year we made the Immortelle, and I've just been loving that. We have a new one out, jasmine, and it has castor oil with it. And it's the first steam distilled jasmine like ever in the history of jasmines, because they're usually an absolute, which is fine for perfumery, but not something that, is gonna, it's not wrong for the skin, but it's not gonna be like an active, juicy ingredient. But if it's steam distilled, it is. But anyway, so I'll just like wet my face. Either could be like just splashing water or a beautiful hot face cloth. And then I'll put on a squirt of oil on that cloth and then just, rub that over my skin. And then I'll finish with a squirt of something else, like a serum or another squirt of the best skin ever, and then massage that in. But I mean, like just, take a couple minutes. Sometimes it's quick, and then sometimes I'll be like, oh, hey, it's a good moment to do like whatever, face yoga, so to speak. And then I'll just really get into massage. I love the jasmine best skin ever with a bit of the castor oil, because it's just a little bit thicker and it's really good for like getting into like deeper face work. Plus your face is all just warm and moist from the warm water and the oil. So it's just really malleable to some good massage at that stage. And I like to just include it in that moment, so it's not a separate activity. That's it for my skin though.
Isn't it? I mean, it's just so I just want every woman to know that she does not need to subject herself to injections and these deep peels and all of these things that are so ultimately just in conflict with life. And then look at you and your gorgeous skin, and you do something, you just, it's so simple. Of course,
Yeah, I
you
think it's a lot of what I'm not doing too, because I basically, I feel like generally speaking, all modern skincare is this catch 22. It's going to put you in a vicious cycle of like because generally everything has some kind of form of a chemical or a surfactant in it. And so you're stripping away the stratum corneum, which is the top layer of the skin. You're stripping away the lipid barrier. Then you're trying to, like, you know, with a chem, like an alcohol, or whatever else, all those ingredients, a benzoyl peroxide, whatever, surfactant. And now they're seeing too on microscope is, so the surfactants, even if you're rinsing them away, they are lodging themselves into the stratum corneum on a microscopic level. And even after you rinse your face, they're still there. And then that builds up on a microscopic level over time. And then that can lead to just little patches of irritation or eczema and just aging the cell. And so we don't want to be doing that. You know, you don't want to be doing chemical peels. Lasers are good, but there's, but like cold lasers, you know, like not, I forget the name of the other kind of laser. Not the laser where they're like, oh, now don't go in the sun for 3 days. Basically anything that is like, don't go in the sun for 3 days after is a no-no. Mm-hmm. Not because you can't, like, I mean, it's fine if we don't go in the sun for 3 days, but it's just literally just doing too much your skin. We don't want to do microneedling either, because again, you're tearing the skin. Now there's a thing to like tearing things down and building them up, like, you know, working out and doing that to your muscles, but you're literally perforating the skin. And it's just not how we need to drive things into the skin at all.
So glad you said that, because even though I have estheticians that I know that I really respect, and they do it and they recommend it. I've never had it done and I won't have it done, because intuitively, yeah, I've just always felt there's something not right about that.
Yeah. It's we don't want to do that kind of damage to the skin. And then there's so many refinements in there. Like, it's all, you know what I mean? Then it's like, is it clean? What type of metal? What size of the things? What are you driving into the skin further? I mean, a lot of people are literally just opening up the pores and then putting chemicals in, you know, so.
And it's offensive. I mean, you think the body, like the skin has feelings and memory, and it doesn't want to be assaulted like that, you know, but okay. That's amazing. Peptides is a very popular,
yes,
trend now.
Yeah. So people are like, you know, and then putting peptides in. So peptides, I love them. And I've studied them through use, and I've done about 200 hours of studying with various doctors. The quality that's in skincare is generally not exciting at all. And it's very much made in China, or, you know, companies like DuPont make skincare chemicals, and they also do some cosmetic peptides. I'm not saying it's necessarily that. I'm just saying there are big companies in there, especially on the cosmetic level, because it's not the injectable level, which is still in a gray zone because it's just experimental. But the quality obviously doesn't have to be there. Then you'll get a lot of peptide creams and stuff, because peptides do work. But yeah, is it the quality that you would inject into your body? And then generally speaking, all those peptides are coming in a sea of stuff that I wouldn't want to put on my skin. So the best thing you can do is, and you can email us. We do take all kinds of questions. It is a little more complex. But the best thing to do is buy the kinds that are ready for the body and then just add them. So reconstitute that and then add it to your skincare. So you know, it's water. Generally they're water. There's not too many that work with oil. You're going to reconstitute it with some water. That's like all part of reconstitute. It's a special, sterilized deionized water. And then you could just add it to one of your, you know, like we have serums that we have oil serums, and then we have sheer serums, which are like, have oil and water joined. So they're thinner and they've got the water in them. You could just add it into that. You could make, you know, you can make a bottle, make your own mouthwash. You could add in some BPC 157, for example. And I do have an article on dental care, which I do include tips on how to use peptides to, you know, heal yourself, get ready for a dental surgery, all that kind of thing. So you'd be far better off, and budget wise, just like adding your own in. And, you know, and it's, if you're going to do it for, you know, if you're already doing it for injections and stuff, then you may as well just keep going and make your own. Because what it's in is not too exciting. I think at some point I might make a little peptide kit where you could just reconstitute and then add them, mm-hmm. or sell them, reconstitute, add them in. But yeah, the quality I was really shocked about once I really dove into it.
Interesting. Wow. And for and in your I thought you mentioned somewhere that you might be putting them into your all over lotion or is that
Yeah,
not
we
right?
are gonna have we will have a cream with it eventually. And then I'm also thinking like a kit would just be super fun. So you could just take whatever you have, whether you want to add it to, you know, a mouthwash, because some of the same things could be like a BPC 157 you could add topically, or you could add to a mouthwash. It would be very healing. That BPC one, you know, the peptides have very strange names, so I don't mean to just rattle them off here. BPC 157 stands for Body Protective Compound 157, and it's very healing and sealing to the gut, for example. But it really all tissue, it helps to heal and seal.
How do you integrate the peptides in your own routine?
Yeah, so I'll have some that I will add topically. To what I've said, like, so our sheer serum. And then, but generally I am injecting them or take, there's some that are available in capsules, but generally the ones that are available capsules aren't the ones that are available for injecting. So we've got bioregulator peptides, which always come in capsules, which are great. And if you wanted to learn more about that, I find Bill Lawrence is amazing on that because he's really done the deep work and he's been using them for about 7 years. And he showed, like, I take them and then I chart sort of like anti-aging, de-aging. And definitely since I've started the peptides, I've been able to turn back the cell, like the cellular clock on cells in my immune system by years. So that's been very exciting since when I started. So I am kind of getting younger, which is kind of fun on a biological level. And I do feel that the bioregulators are very helpful for that. And one that I have been focused on, I work a lot with pineal gland peptides. So the injectable form is something called Epitalon. I don't come up with the names. and then the pill form is called Endolutin. And it is an animal product. It's like, you know how people take thyroid glands or whatever? So this is the peptide within the gland, that, you know what I mean? So the Endolutin has been around, I think, since the 80s, and it has one of the biggest clinical trials ever done on showing how, like, it's really key for anti-aging and immune, just like the whole body. It's pretty spectacular. So I do recommend Bill Lawrence. And then my friend, he's on if you look up his name on YouTube, you can find, he does sort of longer PowerPoint presentations on the bioregulators. But my favorite, my friend Natalie Nidham has a podcast called Longevity, and she's interviewed him 3 times. And so if you see those, you'll get the whole picture, because it really is, it's phenomenal what they can do. And then it's been phenomenal to test my DNA. I use this company called True Diagnostic, and it tests 900,000 DNA methylation sites to get the information. It can tell you your grip strength from a drop of blood. It's pretty incredible. So I can see, like, the, you know, my telomere, and I can't see, but the test is showing me the telomeres and how the Endolutin is really working to keep those telomeres from not getting, really stabilizing them, and not, like, so that. Yeah, and then my pace of aging is pretty, like, slow, relatively speaking. So almost, you know, a year for a year, sort of like 12 months you would age. And I've got it down to about 7 months in a year right now. And I really feel that the peptides in general, but the Endolutin or the Epitalon, and I take them, you know, at varying times, has been phenomenal for that. And that's about the pineal gland. And then also really protecting my pineal gland at night, so to speak. So when the sun sets, we don't have any artificial light that's blue. So we will have amber and red light bulbs, and I will wear blue blockers if I have to hop on my phone or something. So that, I think, is really key for longevity as well.
Are you a fan of Jack Cruz's work?
I haven't done a deep dive into him, but I mean, just being a fan of the sun and writing about the sun for so long, for sure. Like, yeah, but I haven't dived in, because he's got the whole world.
Wonderful
in there.
Though that that message is really making the rounds now.
Yes, especially in this digital age, right? Where screens are all around us, and so it is good for us to know, because, like, our melatonin production is actually supposed to be in the daytime.
That's the thing that was so amazing, and that's
in the mitochondria. Like, I find that so fascinating, because we think of the The melatonin has this nighttime pineal gland release, but that's really just about 5% of what's going on. It's supposed to be made in the morning. We get up, we get out into the sunlight, which is the red light rays and the infrared that's generating it inside the mitochondria, where it acts as the body's most potent antioxidant, more potent than glutathione, more potent than vitamin E, vitamin C. And the mitochondria and melatonin have had this ancient, like, kind of dance partnership that we really want to honor, because I think it is key to, like, we'll just longevity or anti, whatever you want to call it, but just key to sticking around and having a healthy life.
And it all comes back to consciousness and light and the sun. I
Yeah,
mean,
light, more
perfect sense.
light.
Light is consciousness, and that makes sense. Crepey skin, which
Yes.
when I first heard it, I read it somewhere. I thought it's creepy skin because it But do you feel, or do you find, have you found at all that that could be reversible? If you're kind of doing everything right and you're using products of the caliber of yours?
Well, I think yes, it's, but then you do have that sort of, for some, the hormonal situation, as they're getting to 50s, 60s, is hard because progesterone does help keep the skin, like, not necessarily in the spot you're putting you can use progesterone cream, but we're literally, like, in our bodies, it's getting less and less each year. But then so is collagen. I think, what is the stat? We maybe lose 4% a year, which adds up. So, you want to make sure that you can, like, I don't know. So those are the things you kind of maybe have to look at. Or, like, is there bone loss or muscle loss? Because those, all that is the intracellular structure that's keeping the skin, taut and upright, so to speak. So all those things you want to be looking at. So really, to have, to sort of, quote unquote, age gracefully, we got, the bones. You don't want to be having shrinking bones, and you want to keep up, muscle and that kind of stuff. Again, that's can be challenging, but those are the things that will start to fade that you
If you're
want
shrinking, then you're
to, the shrinking.
definitely. But is there so? But if you is there something that is knowing that there's so many issues at play there internally? Anything topical that you think is the most would be the most effective for crepey skin?
Well, yeah, working with just, like, it's, it's simple, but the, like, jojoba is so rich in ceramides, and then the essential oils, yes, they're pretty, but, like, that's not really, I mean, they smell good, but it's not really why we use them. It's, like, part of the reason, because the main thing is they're these juicy active ingredients. Like, we just talked about how cloves is quorum sensing inhibitor. So, like, when we're using them on our skin, they're able to drive, go deeper into the skin. Like, the essential oil goes into the skin, and it goes into the bloodstream, and it does its work, and then it leaves the body, which is great because it doesn't, like, build up in the system. So they're anti-inflammatory, they're help. There's just so many of the essential oils have properties and benefits to it that will prevent the breakdown of the collagen and elastin. So those are key things too for preventing the crepey skin. So it's
Wonderful.
really, like, all, again, like the teeth, it's like inside and outside. We got to, hit it. And then also, not having a lifetime of just putting chemicals on the skin, which are then wearing down the infrastructure, and that, again, that intracellular matrix that is, like, kind of like lattice work, that's interwoven and kind of holding up the whole situation.
Exactly. And the one thing I mean, I'm sure we share so many things in common, but we can both say that for the last 20 years, maybe longer for you. For me, it was 24 years ago I got into this lifestyle. But and I think I used products I shouldn't have before then when I was, probably like a kid. But here we are. We're embodying the fact that, those things are damaging. We don't use them. We haven't used them for decades, and we've used the simplest, purest products, and we've come out all right. No, I
Yeah.
mean, so you can trust it. So we've been the guinea pigs,
Exactly. And I feel that way too about the sun. It's like, I feel like I've been, well, there was the teen, my teen times, which, again, we were just using, like, baby oil and tinfoil and swimming in chlorine pools and getting burnt, and then totally being told, though, like, what I mean? It's such a weird dichotomy. But all I knew is that the sun always felt good. It felt right. I felt happy being in the sun. So then, like, in my 20s, I really started looking into it and stuff, and then, always being in the sun and finding the way to integrate it and not to be afraid. So I also feel like, you know, I feel like I've got about 30 years of some solid sun use. And I mean, there's people that are more, I'm not living in Hawaii, but you know, the hyperpigmentation and wrinkles, you know, it's not necessarily coming from the sun at all. I feel like it's really about, you know, when we're eating diets high in polyunsaturated fatty acids, like the mazola, canola, soy, corn, whatever, all those oils, you just literally want to have zero in your life of those oils. I've been speaking about those oils since the 90s to not have them, you know, in, on, or around our bodies. I did a talk in 1996 called The Good, the Bad, and the Rancid on those oils. And we definitely don't want to be making skincare with those oils. So those cause hyperpigmentation. Things like birth control pill causes hyperpigmentation. So there's a lot that goes on that has nothing to do with the sun.
Speaking of those things, with your dew drops, that's what you're mentioning, the like reversal of skin spots and those, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What will your dew drops turn around?
Yes, that's a good question. Of course, everybody's skin is different. We also have 5 or 6 dew drops, so sort of just, you know, for subtle nuances and the different things. So calming and cooling for like an eczema red rash, you know, that's the bee dew dab. It's very calming. Jewel dew dab. And the Jewel Dab and the Dew Dab Original, those are very, very good for hyperpigmentation. So yeah, there's just some nuances. Then we've got Zippity Dew Dab for the zits.
That's cute.
And on and on. Anyway, yeah. So what we have found is it will start fading those spots. It'll take, you know, application once or twice a day. You know, you might see something in the first few weeks, but you definitely want to give it 2 to 3 months. For some, 100% gone. Like literally where, you know, like actresses where the doctors are like, you're never getting ready. Like the pregnancy mass that might've been above the lips or whatever, 100% gone. For others, it could, you know, it could be like 50% gone, 80% gone, but it's really, it's hard to see like anything else that's working better, except, you know, maybe some kind of, you know, laser therapy, light therapy. I think those are also very helpful, but you know.
Right. But for hyperpigmentation and even sun damage, it can really help.
Really, yeah, really help. Just fade it right to normal and just like even the skin tone, brighten the skin. But again, it will vary, but lots of people are just like having it totally fade, which is amazing.
And the Jewel and the Original, as you said, is best for
her. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. All right. So I suppose can we delve into hair now?
Yeah. And if I can add to about those dew dabs, we also have each dew dab has an ozonated dew dab with it as a partner. And those are also amazing because then you've got the ozone and any bump or blemish, it just helps them go away. Rash, weird things. You just put on one of those dew dabs.
Fantastic. I mean, I almost want to use them as suppositories.
You could be. Yeah. In Renegade Beauty, there's a recipe for suppositories and like you can see the amount of essential oil you can add into one.
Okay. And by the way, this book is phenomenal. It's so beautifully written. Like it's poetry. It's the way you phrase things. It just I just really, really I'm so impressed with this book. I love it. And it just pulled me in so deeply and there's so much wisdom. And as anyone who's listening to this will understand, this is knowledge, wisdom you will not find anywhere else. And the book is literally encapsulates wisdom that is just beyond. So I just had to say that because I'm so, so blown away by it. It's not often that I'm, you know, impressed with something and I sincerely am. Okay. So first of all, you have the most gorgeous hair ever. And I mean, whatever you're doing, we need to know because it's stunning. And then I'd love to talk about like natural gray concealing, because I think that's so many of us, myself included, you know, I haven't found a solution. And I have looked into hairprint. I think you mentioned hairprint somewhere. It seemed kind of confusing to me. I would love for it to work. I'd love to find something that, you know, and I think that the peptides at some point, I think you mentioned the peptides can potentially help with that. But anything you want to share with us that will, I mean, this audience is already completely on your page and, you know, ready, like, and just wanting to do things right and wanting to not just skip over all the nonsense, not engage in the mad way of, you know, of ruining ourselves, ruining our crown. Speaking of crown, I do love your crown in glory.
Oh, that I love that one.
And in Florida, I mean, it's like Florida hair, I call it. I'm just tamed right now, but I wind up going through a lot of this because I haven't found a hair oil I like as much as that one.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that one too. It's got nettles in it and the pumpkin seed oil. It's really good. Yeah, I'm actually at some point, hopefully in the next couple of months, I want to do a really deep dive hair care article and just go further into just different things. Cause I found like since the pandemic, there's just been a lot more hair shedding globally. I think maybe it's reaction to the stress or who knows, right?
Yeah, everybody's complaining about it. Everyone's
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. Well, and also literally the virus like does for some people with, if you catch it, then about 3 months later, the hair. So you don't always connect it, but people are having that response just to catching that virus. So, okay, where to start with hair? Well, first of all, like obviously, you know, most shampoos and stuff out there, they're, you know, sodium lauryl sulfate and like who knows what else, or like silicone, soy. Dry shampoo has butane in it. I was so shocked when I read that. I'm like, what is even, what? Can't even comprehend how that's working. Anyway, so there's a lot of chemicals you don't want to, you know, be putting that in your hair. Cause again, that's like drying out, ruining scalp. It's also like leaving residue, especially so many conditioners with polymers and all that. You're like literally building up a microscopic residue on the scalp. And the whole key to hair is the scalp, or one of the whole keys. So, you know, whether you're a teenage boy having more like testosterone, cause it's that time it's coming in, or like a 50-year-old man that has dandruff and is like drinking beer. Like I'm thinking of that yeasty, like a yeasty 50-year-old guy, or you're a candidate for hair plugs, or you're a woman, you know, menopause or like pre-menopause, or you just had a baby, the hair is going, whatever. The key is to get the scalp clean and clear and keep it clean and clear. Cause you know, if we're sweating or like that teenage guy, you know, it's building up and that dandruff. So if there is any kind of dandruff, that is inhibiting the pores. You know, it may not always look like classic dandruff, but basically scalp residue. So you want to clean and clear it, and you don't want to clean and clear it with like sodium lauryl sulfate or whatever, really harsh chemicals. So obviously it's harder. Like I used to wash my hair a lot less, but now I do like every 3 days, and I have a lot of hair. So it's definitely like a thing, but it's really important that, so when you're shampooing, you're just really getting the scalp. It's not about the hair, but you really got to work it. And so you really want to like spend about five minutes, and you're really getting the pads of the fingers. You want them to feel the scalp, and you want them to feel when that soapy suds has really gotten there and it's lifting. You know what I mean? Like you can feel it. You can still, if it's still sort of that like 3 day old hair, again, not like oily, but you can just feel if the soap's gotten there yet. And that's what you really want to work on, is getting that suds in there. And then you're rinsing, and you can even, I call it like 1.5 times. So you're getting like, then you do like a half one where you kind of, you've done the first round, you quickly rinse it, but not fully. Like you're kind of half rinsing it out, still really there. You add another little bit of shampoo and you just work at that like next half time, because it will just get a little fluffier. Oh, another tip is if you put the shampoo. So I put our shampoo. We have two kinds, Sea Buckthorn shampoo, True Blue shampoo. And we got another one coming out maybe next month with calendula and black walnut. It is so beautiful. Called Calendula Comfort shampoo and conditioner. Anyway, my point is you put them in a foaming hand soap thing, which is, again, you can get on eBay, Amazon, a foaming pump thing. Add water, you know, hopefully that, if you've had filtered water, or you can just a bottle of spring water in glass, and you're just going to be using like, you know, half a cup of water. So I like having, you know, if I'm traveling, I have like a bottle of spring water in the bathroom, so I'm not using the tap water. So if you live in the city or something, you could just have like that bottle of water. It wouldn't take you, you know, it would last a bit. You can use it for like washing your face, that kind of thing. Anyway, you can add that to the foaming hand soap, and then you pump it out, and then it's coming out already foamy. So you're using way less shampoo. It's already worked into a bit of a lather, which is great. So then do that, you rinse it out, and then if you really want to be extra, you could like dilute some apple cider vinegar and rinse that over your hair. Then men don't always need to, but definitely I feel like women or long hair, you want to put on a bit of conditioner. I love our Honey Myrtle. It's so deep and smells nice. So I'll put that on, rinse it out. So that is so key. And if you're a guy and you've got the dandruff, or really whoever, it could be a girl, and especially if you have short hair, then you do have to wash it every day for a bit. You know what I mean? Could take a couple months, but you've got to get ahead of that debris coming on the scalp. You can also get a camera on like Amazon. I forget what it's called, but you can just basically plug it into your computer and you can look microscopically at your scalp and you can see what's going on. And you'd be like, oh, I got to clean it. You know what I mean? It's weird. You're like, oh, I can see. You can see. And then you can see after you wash it for a bit, just sort of that calmer, it's calmer. Now, why are we doing that? Because the pores, if there's all this debris, the pores start to tighten, which then makes your hair thinner. And then if it tighten, tighten, tightens, then it's like basically the pore chokes off the hair, and then maybe it's closing down shop, so to speak. And then that, for example, could be the beginning of like a male pattern baldness.
So basically,
So, yeah.
a pure shampoo is something like, I mean, obviously what your shampoo would be ideal. And we're just really getting in there and working the scalp
Yes.
with our fingers, giving
Yeah.
that a few minutes and focusing there.
Yes.
And then we do that one and a half, like you
Yeah,
described.
one and a half. Make sure
And
you've
then
really got a good rinse. Hopefully you have a shower filter. Because that's back for some, it's just the chlorine coming out of the tap water is giving them the dandruff. You know what I mean? So a little filter, and again, it could be $25 one off Amazon,
Or
or
from
you can get a little
locations.
fancier, or a whole home thing. But
Yeah.
when I was in the city, however long ago that was, like 25 years ago, we would just have one of those filters, and then we would do everything through that filter. I would even run the bath through the shower filter, or like rinse the kale through the shower filter.
Yeah. Wow. So numero uno is get that scalp clean.
Yes.
Make sure those pores can breathe. Make sure that they can
Yes.
push fresh hair through. And
Yes.
then in terms of a conditioner, that you like anything
And
specific.
then the conditioner is not about the scalp, it's about the hair. So don't worry about even getting on
So
the scalp.
wash the
Just get it over
scalp
the
and
hair.
condition hair. Okay.
Yeah. What I'll do too is I usually put it in and then I'll quickly put water in my hair and then it just goes through the hair more and let it sit on, do some things, and then rinse that out. And then often I'll put in that same conditioner in when my hair is wet or even after I've dried it, just to like bring it together like a whatever, like the products. Like it can be like a hair product, is I guess what I'm trying to
No,
say.
I do the same thing. I feel like I don't know if it's a factor of as one gets older that the hair texture changes. Maybe it's because the pores aren't like, maybe it's as all the factors,
Yeah, maybe, yeah, all the things. Oh, yeah,
but
and then the hair, so hair oiling. So what I'll do is, and again, I don't go out that much, so I often have my hair just oiled up. So you can oil it just before the shampoo, a few days before the shampoo, the night before the shampoo. What I've been really loving is getting, again, off Amazon or wherever, or eBay, there's these like 3 for like $5. They're these, like they're plastic, but you got to be able to squeeze it. And it's these root hair applicators with like this kind of comb that like has holes in it, so all the water would come out. So I will mix in there my hair oil. I'll throw that in and I add like a tablespoon of water, because then that opens, if my hair is dry, it opens up the pores to receive the water just that little bit. And sometimes what I'll do if I'm not going anywhere is after I wash my hair, I'll oil it when it's wet, because then it's just going in, everything's been opened up from all the water, and it's very nourishing, and especially in the winter when everything's a bit drier with the heat on. So that's been really nice. But here's
Wow.
another good so internal tricks for good hair. The endolutin that I spoke about is amazing. Like after taking that for a week, I could just feel like new little baby hairs coming in. So my hair got like a little bit extra thicker. And then I had started about 3 or 4 years ago experimenting with a higher dose of melatonin, which is like if you look at the work of Dr. Russell Ryder or Dr. Doris Lowe, LOH, or Dr. John Lawrence, they all go into this a lot more. But the short of it is melatonin has no negative feedback loop. So it will not dull your own production. It seems like it's like non-toxic. So there's not an amount that is toxic. You can go quite high. And it's showing that 1,000 milligrams a day is very anti-cancer, for example, like as a cancer therapy. So there's a wide range more than that, like 1 microgram that people might take at night.
Right. I did it a long time ago and I found it gave me nightmares and I heard
Yeah.
when I did
I
it
don't
change.
like to, I know. I didn't like it. I tried it once too, like that. And I was like, what? I didn't sleep. I felt like I glided over my sleep and I didn't like, and I woke up just feeling not like I slept at all. And that's about 30, 40% of the population. But then it goes back to, well, we're really usually producing our melatonin in the daytime. So you can actually take the high doses in the day. So I always make sure I can take it. Sometimes I take it in the morning. It will take a couple weeks to get used to it, but you will not actually get sleepy at all once.
Really? I would think you
Yeah.
just fall asleep.
Yeah, literally the first few times I took it, I was like, well, I couldn't like work. And then I was like, oh yeah, I can work. And then I was like, well, I couldn't do a podcast. And I'm like, oh, I can do a podcast. Like it's just literally like once it's just a few weeks, you know, might just try it on the weekend, whatever. And also, if you take it before you go in the sun, it is literally an internal sunscreen. It will literally create a beautiful tan. It helps prevent burning.
That's insane.
It's insane. Yeah, it's
It
really
is so
connected to
wild.
that layer.
Okay, then I have to have
Yeah.
ask you, like, let's just batten it down here. How were you taking and what's the
Well, okay, so generally I'll take maybe 200 and then another 200, or I have like these four 400.
micrograms, milligrams,
Yeah.
okay.
Milligrams. That's
Because
what it is.
it's like three
Definitely,
or that
if
you
people take 3 to 4 or 5 at night, maybe 10. What I'm doing is taking 400 of that, 1,000 of that. No, I don't generally do 1,000, about 400. But if I do feel something coming on, if I'm like,
You're
ooh.
10xing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
Yes, no, that's okay.
are you 10xing the normal dosage?
Yeah.
That what you mean?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then you don't feel sick. I think I'd be
No.
nervous that, but I guess I could do it in increments because
Yeah, do it in your wrist, do it on a weekend or whatever. Do it when you literally like do it when you can have a nap. Because the definitely the first week, I would just have these like power. Like if I was able, like just like a 10-minute nap, but which also felt so healing. It was interesting. And I felt like I was just re kind of balancing out. But what I found is, and why I'm talking about this with the hair, is that yeah, it just again, hair was thicker. You know what I mean? Like luckily I kind of was born with hair like this, but it was definitely like keeping it that way. You know what I mean?
You think
And
it played a role in the hair?
yes, and I oh for sure. And it does it, and then it's like a thing. Like it's not just me, but like other people have found that and doctors and stuff. But what I found too is like any hair that was growing in that time, I feel like from the end of, you know, again, feeling, I feel like I just constantly have like the little baby hairs growing like all the time. And they never come in gray. So it seems very anti-gray. I don't know if it would turn the gray back, but new hair is not going to come in gray, it seems.
But what is the connection between the melatonin and the adalutin?
Well, they both work. They're both really working with that layer, the melanic, what's it called? The melanocortex, I don't have the exact name right now, but they're both really talking to the pineal gland. So I haven't figured it all out yet, but I am going into it because I do want to find out the connections. But
With the adalutin, that's a new word for me, by the way. How do you
so,
say
oh, it's a totally weird,
it?
it's a weird,
How do you
it's a
spell it?
Russian word.
Okay, I'm sure people don't know how to spell it.
Yeah, it's ENDOUL. ETM. I call them all the those peptides that are bioregulators have very strange names like Vlodonix and Ovigen and stuff. Anyway, I call them the Russian Kia peptides because they sound like IKEA names for
Oh,
peptides.
how funny. But you're injecting that like
Oh, so
subcutaneously?
the endoluten is a pill, so that's fine because you can just take it. The Epitalon is the injectable version. I might just do like 2 vials a year, which is just like a week or two of needles. The capsule I generally have, you know, I'll take like a course each month.
Maybe you're actually injecting yourself with a needle.
Oh yeah, they're all just for the other peptides. It's all intramuscular. You know, at first I couldn't, and my husband would do it, but then we just totally got used to it, and we're like totally fine. But I was like, oh, I can't. But it's just do it like in your, you know, the fleshy part of your hip or whatever. It's easy.
But I like the
But
idea.
there's a lot of capsules you can start with, and
Yeah.
yeah. So then I was like, Ron, my husband, I was like, you got to get on the melatonin because again, I mean, he has lovely hair, but just like he's 55. So it's a bit thinner than it was, you know what I mean? Than maybe it was when he was 20. And he's just like every day, he's like, oh my God, it's like so thick now and stuff. I'm like, yeah, exactly. So you can see it fast on a man with short hair. I feel like the, and then, okay, then the other thing that is super fun to do, again, I'm on the higher side of melatonin. So definitely research it for yourself and see how you feel about everything. But I'm very sensitive and I feel like it's really working for my body. I make, so in that, remember I told you about the hair root applicator and the hair oil. So what I will also do is I'll take straight essential oil, like rosemary. Again, know that's pure. Of course, I'm working with mine. I'll work with the rosemary verbena or the rosemary classic, and rosemary time tested to show that it makes it creates hair growth. It's also amazing for your scalp and dandruff and all those things. So I'll put a few drops into that container, the root applicator container. Then, and I might add a little bit of peppermint, frankincense, whatever. But the key is the rose, like you want to get the rosemary in there. And I have like all kinds of essential oils, but you can just focus on one. Then I'll take a teaspoon-ish. I don't measure. It's okay. But again, feel it out for yourself. Maybe start with a little bit less. And I'll put that in. And then the rosemary essential oil, it, they don't fully mix, but the essential oil will break down that powder more than water. So you do that first so that the rosemary can just make the powder solvent. Then to that, you could add some of the scalp oil, but not, you don't have, for this, you don't have to add too much. You could add like a dropper full. And then you again add that tablespoon or a little more, depending on the thickness of your hair, and you shake that up. So, and then you put that in your hair overnight. And if you don't add the oil, the scalp oil, it won't even be oily. So you can play with the scalp oil or not. You can just do the rosemary and melatonin in water. And then you just get that right into your scalp and put your hair up. And then that sinks into your hair overnight. And the topical application of the melatonin is so good for the scalp and hair growth. And I don't have that same experience when I use it topically as I would taking like a melatonin at night. You know what I mean? So it doesn't disrupt my sleep if I'm using it topically. But
But
that
you,
is,
I've never heard of it. So you're basically making a powder, but using it topically, and it's having an effect on the hair growth.
Like you will see,
Oh,
it's,
wow.
you know, it depends on the person, but people are seeing the baby hairs come within a few days of
So
that.
if you were to choose one approach over the other, taking ingesting it in the morning or during the day, or versus doing it topically, where would you
I
start?
think it would be up to the person. Like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe you can't take it in the day. That's like, maybe you got to research that because that's like, you know, it's a bigger thought. And you gotta make the time, but I feel like the topical application is very, very easy to start with, right? Because it's
That
like,
crush it up.
no, you don't have to crush. Oh yeah, you're buying the powder in bulk. That's a good point too. That's a great point to tell you. Yeah, forget the pills. It's so easy to get melatonin in bulk. Again, you can go to Amazon, but there's a company called Bulk Supplements. They have very pure, just no excipients, just the powder, like kind of everything you've ever, like every supplement as a bulk thing. And you can get like a small pack of like 40 grams, you know, for like $20, or you can get a pound of melatonin or maybe 80 or something, which also, like budget-wise, it's incredible to do it that way.
And in terms of a synthetic melatonin versus what your body would produce hormonally, I mean, it's doing the job. So I guess why challenge
It is
yourself?
doing the job, but it's not like you know, with and I'm not saying like bioidenticals definitely have their place. But if you do apply a testosterone or take it or a progesterone or an estrogen or whatever, you're gonna dull your own production. But you know, maybe you're 70 and that's okay because you didn't have very much left. But for the melatonin, it doesn't dull your production. It doesn't have a negative feedback loop. So it does seem, you know, from the research and the doctors, Dr. Russell Ryder has been taking the melatonin since he was 24 and he's like 82 now. And he takes about 80 to 100 grams a day, for example.
Yeah, I have to look into him.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area to look into too. Like again, check it out, but wow, it's like so, it's such a huge, because for all the things it can heal for women that are going into like 50s and above, it like literally dampens. It suppresses the hormones that really increase at that time, the LSH and the FSH, they start to increase like kind of 500 fold, and it just like calms them right down, which is amazing. And it's very, very antiviral. So apparently in the pandemic, the sales of melatonin like double, like billion, we're in the billions because it's very antiviral.
That's a whole another application.
Yeah, oh, it's like, yeah, it's like melatonin totally opened up, but I'm still not into taking that pill at night, and I would not get a good sleep. Like, so it's like, it's interesting because it definitely, you know, there's ways to work with it that I'd never even heard of or dreamt of. Or, you know, you can make your own, you can add that powder to a cream and then just put it on topically, like on your leg to help you fall asleep instead of taking it, so to speak. But I was like, hey, what if we put it on our scalp? And I just started experimenting. And then I was like, oh my God, even more hair.
I get very experimental myself. So I can see
Yeah.
that something's gonna, you just kind of started something there. Wow. Well, look, we have kept you for so long. I'm going to let you go very reluctantly, but I hope we can maybe do this again sometime.
That'd be so fun.
You are just beyond. And it, you know, I don't even, we didn't even get into the fragrances and your, you know, just the aromatherapy aspect and everything. All I can say is anyone who's listening to this, Nadine's creations, Living Libations, is extraordinary. It is totally next level. And every single product takes you on a journey. There's aromatic experience. Not to mention, I love, by the way, this the petal perfume. So beautiful. I just like, so everything is just, it's such a journey. And yeah, I think we'll leave it at that for now. But you are such a blessing. Thank you for sharing all that you have and just so grateful for your presence in our day. So thank you, in our life.
Well, it's been so lovely. It's been such a pleasure being with you today. Thank you.